Hey everyone, it's Tad Hargrove from Marketing for Hippies, and I am here talking about niching with Sarah Julison from mybirthbusiness.com, and she is a doula that works with entrepreneurs, helping them to also birth their own business, and works with doulas specifically around their business and marketing stuff. And she lives in BC for the moment, and we have met and chatted and loved what I've seen of her work. And so welcome. Thanks for joining.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you. And everything you do is such a great fit for my clients working with birth professionals. We tend to be pretty wary of the marketing scene. And many of my clients have really found great resonance with what you're putting forward. So I'm thrilled to be here with you. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, so I'm wondering if there's anything else you want to say in introduction to yourself, sort of who you are, what you're up to, what you're about.
Yeah, so I support birth professionals primarily, but also holistic service providers with both business doula care, which is business coaching, and also website doula care. I think the niching question is really a very important one, and I see it go so consistently wrong in people that I talk with around the country that I'm really happy to be here to try and sort through some of the kind of diversions that lead people away from the path they should be on with niching.
Yeah. So where do you see it going wrong? Because I agree, I see... Yeah, I see that it can go wrong in so many ways. And I'm curious, where do you tend to see it go wrong?
You know, it just seems so simple, right?
Like,
okay, so I'm a birth professional, so my niche is pregnant families. And I live in Seattle, so my niche is pregnant families who live in Seattle. And that seems, I think, on the surface, pretty specific. But it's kind of like a massage therapist saying, my niche is people with sore backs in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again... You know, you look at it and you think, okay, they've got a back injury. They're people. They live in my city. But if you were to really stop and think, you'd remember the incredible diversity of pregnant women in Seattle. Mm. Their ages, their relationship status, income level, education levels, pregnancy health, beliefs about birth, the kinds of books they're reading. And so in reality, that niche of pregnant women in Seattle is this great, big, broad stroke niche that, I mean, it could certainly serve as a foundation for niche explorations, but the final result will be so much more specific and ultimately useful. I think a nice little criteria that I've come across is if your niche is common sense, you've got more exploring to do. So you're a midwife and you serve pregnant families. Well, of course you do. Tell me more. Take me beyond that first line response.
Right. You don't want people to hear your niche and be like, well, duh.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously. That's a great criteria, actually. Because I think it is easy for people to... Because what's interesting about that, one of the criteria, you know, that's commonly bandied around for niche is that if I said... what my niche was, that you should be able to picture somebody in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, well, a pregnant woman in Seattle, and you happen to know a pregnant woman in Seattle, it seems to, well, check, you know, that's
Got
a clear
it.
Niche. But there really is so much more to it. And there is within, you know, in my lingo, I talk about it sort of the big circle of like, for me, there's conscious entrepreneurs. But we could even narrow that to, yeah, pregnant women in Seattle is like the big circle. And then within that, there are so many little circles. There are so many different types of pregnant women in Seattle. And yeah, different beliefs about birth, different political leanings, different communities and scenes that they're a part of, different books and authors they would resonate with.
And even different inner needs, right? Huh. Are they looking for someone who's going to be a mentor and a guide? Are they looking for someone who's going to coach them? Mm-hmm. Are they looking for someone who's going to feel more like a sister?
That's so interesting, right? Even the emotional experience they're going to want when they're doing it. Like I could think of somebody wanting yoga, but there's like somebody who does like punk rock yoga. There's somebody who does just very gentle, soothing yoga. And there's, other people who are like athletes and it's more athletic yoga.
Exactly.
And people are going to be drawn to different yoga studios just based on the vibe that they have. That's totally true. So what do you think is most important in niching, and what's a distraction?
For me, it comes down to this idea of a really insanely comfortable metaphorical couch. And so you want potential clients to pick up your business card, come across your website, meet you at a networking event. And when they meet you, they just have this innate hunger to sit down on your couch, drink some tea together, and learn more. There's something in the way that you present yourself that invites them in and makes them feel like, yeah, I just found, maybe a possible home for myself. And this came to me years ago. I was building a new website for a childbirth education business that I had, and I kept on coming back to this idea that I wanted the site to feel like the best couch ever. And I kept on telling my designer, just like, think couch. It created some very interesting initial design models. But the ultimate message was I wanted clients to just instantly feel like they wanted to take their time. And if you think about couches, I mean, what kind of couch do you have in your home?
It's not the most comfy. It's like got wood ends and yeah.
Yeah, so you've got kind of the couch that works for you. I've got a queen size day bed in my living room. We don't even have a couch. I've got pillows everywhere. Other people are going to go for the leather, some are going to go for the sleek retro. So kind of think about what kind of metaphorical couch your niche is looking for. What's going to make them feel that sense of, I just totally want to sink in here and hang out.
I love that. That's such a great analogy. And what do you feel like is the big distraction?
Fear, if we can call that a distraction, it's we start to define their niche, we start to go beyond the pregnant women in Seattle, and suddenly there's that wall of, oh my God, I'm going to leave people out. No, I don't want to leave people out. And because we're self-employed, when we don't get a client, we lose that income. So you have this image of, well, if I leave out that group of clients and that group of clients, if I'm only speaking to group A who like the comfy couch instead of modern couch, I'm going to miss out on all the modern couch people. And, my brothers are musicians, and I've watched them for years. Like, I have to take that gig because I don't know if I'll get another offer the next night. And so you get into this mindset of feeling like you need to cover all the bases. And those of us who have successfully niched, we're all sitting here praising the value of this specific niche. And we're talking about how it opens the doors of opportunity, how you get not only more clients, but better clients. But when you haven't gotten there yet, I think that wall of fear gets in the way to a considerable degree.
I'm curious what your experience was. Did you start with this niche? Did you start general and then narrow in? Like, what was your experience with it?
When I first came up with this business model, I really saw myself working with a broader niche. So I was marketing towards birth professionals, but kind of my language was incorporating a much broader range of holistic service professionals. And what I found was what I wanted to write in the blog, what I wanted to talk about in my conference calls really was tailored primarily to birth professionals. And I started stepping back a little bit from the more holistic service providers because it just wasn't where my primary energy was going. And as I stepped back, I started obviously building more clients from within that niche, and it was fantastic. And at the same time, I've still had a very consistent stream of people who just do yoga or massage or counseling, photography, who have come to me for support and who see the value because they're recognizing the language and they're feeling some resonance with what I'm doing and seeing how it is a perfect fit for what they do. Just my specialty really is birth professionals. And that's felt really good. So even I hit that, well, I want to include them. And then after about a year, realized that, yeah, I do want to, I am very open to supporting them. And what I'm doing is a great fit for who they are and what they're doing. But my true voice is focused on the birth market.
And something I've been thinking about lately, I was curious to get your take on, is it feels like there are two fundamentally different ways to look at niching. One is that we identify the target market, who we're going after,
mm-hmm.
you know, which I think your business has done really well. You know, it's like I work with single dads who are going through a divorce, and it's a very specific kind of thing. The other is you just kind of make something that has sort of an implied niche. So I think about restaurants often, like there's the restaurant in Edmonton, Nourish, and it's like a superfood, you know, vegetarian,
yeah,
healthy kind of place. And
there's only a certain kind of person that's going to walk through that door.
Yeah, but what's interesting is it's not like they have one target market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like they're like yogis in Edmonton. Like their right. target market is going to be defined by people who like what they're offering.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a number of target markets within that. You know, there are a number of sort of subsections of who shows up. And I'm just curious your sense of that or understanding of that, or if you'd worked with clients who are in that same kind of boat, or, yeah.
You know, I think niche has many different manifestations. Right. And, you know, we need to obviously look at the population we're reaching out to serve. But then there's also just how our practice is naturally going to draw a certain kind of client. And when we package our offerings in a certain way, when we use certain language to describe them, when we create a certain pricing structure, right. You know, I mean, we're not serving up a literal menu of food, but the menu of what we offer is in and of itself speaking to a particular niche.
Yeah.
If we're doing it right. And so ideally it's not just that niche that we've set and set aside our heads and we've tailored our language to, but we're just the very nature of our services.
Yeah.
Is going to reach them. So if I'm a doula who, really loves the outdoors and really finds great inspiration in nature, and I decide that I want a weekly or monthly hike to be part of my practice with all my clients getting together and all the strollers and all the kids in slings.
Yeah.
That offering as a part of my practice is inevitably going to open the doors.
Yeah. And speaking of sort of different businesses attracting different people, I'd asked you before the call of some examples of businesses mm-hmm. you thought were great niche businesses, and one was birthswell.com.
Yeah.
And so can you talk about what they are and why you think it's a great niche example?
So Jeanette and Hillary are social media and communications experts, and they looked at the birth industry and saw all these people who love what they do and strongly believe in what they do and have this really powerful vision to ultimately change our birth culture. But the tools to do that were perhaps missing. And so they support birth professionals and advocacy groups who want to use social media as a tool for that birth activism to help change our birth culture. And I think they could have just put themselves out there saying, yeah, if you want to learn social media and you're a birth professional, we're your person. But they've really honed in on that advocacy piece and using social media as a tool to achieve our ultimate goal as birth professionals, which is changing the way modern birth looks in our culture.
I love that. And I imagine for a lot of birth professionals, they would feel a lot more comfortable using social media from the standpoint of advocacy than promoting themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a lot of what you see in the social media realm. So yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful niche. I was so excited when I came across them.
And it's interesting. I noticed for me, one of the criteria of a good niche is I get excited when I hear it. I'm like, oh, that's such a great idea. Like, of course, why did nobody think about this? It's such a, you know, this is so needed. Nobody else is doing this. I often think about a niche as like what's missing.
I think it's almost when I see a great niche, it's like if I can recognize their niche, then it's a great niche. If I see what they're doing, I go, oh. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? And if I can't find the, if it's so, you know, nebulous of, you know, we just do social media or we do communications and I don't get that aha moment, it's not there.
I like that. Yeah, there should be that aha. So another one is a mutual friend of ours, Amanda Spakowski, with thenestingplace.ca.
Yes. So Amanda is a childbirth educator and doula, right? They're dime a dozen in major metropolitan cities. She's based in Toronto, and she provides many of the same services as countless other local businesses, but she doesn't, because her childbirth classes, her birthing from within approach, and the specific way she's applying this within their practice is so special. And she's done a beautiful job of really focusing her services on those parents who are really desperately wanting to feel less fear. They want to feel more confidence. They want to feel connection. They want to feel like they're part of something. And ultimately, they don't want to experience any sort of judgment from their doula or childbirth educator. They want to enter a safe space to really explore their options. And she's just taken a standard offering that can seem very standard from the initial perspective of the person who's just looking for a prenatal class, and really infused her marketing with language that says, if this is what you're needing, this is the right place for you.
Yeah, so much of this niche stuff comes back to the idea of fit, of, you want people who are a perfect fit for you, but there's that the two sides of that coin of knowing who we are and what we're offering
Yeah.
and being clear
And
about
it
that, but then also being clear about, who might be into that and who would be a fit for us.
Yeah. And I think that there's another little trap there, though, because sometimes people go, all right, well, the person that's a great fit for me is going to be a lot like me.
Okay. Right.
Right? That they're going to like hiking too, and they're going to be into organic foods, and they're going to be believing certain things about birth or whatever.
Yeah.
And for me, that fit needs to be much more focused on the fit for the way you provide your services. That doesn't necessarily reflect who I am as a person. When I first started doing childbirth education, I was imagining clients that were a lot like me being a
Right.
great fit. And what I found over time was that actually my ideal clients, the clients that were the perfect fit for what I do, were very different from who I am. And that was really exciting to see that the style of care I provide is actually an excellent fit for a very different niche than I would actually fit into.
That's interesting. That's a really good distinction. So that a lot of people will say, oh yeah, so a perfect fit for me might have the same political beliefs, or they would. So there are a number of things that people might look at as a important for fit that may actually be a bit of a distraction when what we should really
Exactly.
be focusing on, like, what are we offering it and how are we offering it, making sure that feels good and right for us. And then there's a question of, like, who would be into what we offer, the way we offer it, why we offer it.
Right. So, I mean, it is complex. You're bringing a lot of different pieces together here.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that you're not just doing a single session webinar, right?
Totally.
That's got weeks to work on this in a very intensive format.
Yeah. And now you said there was also a client that you were working with that was going through her process around niche, and I'm curious where that's at.
It's been really beautiful watching her go through this. So this is a childbirth educator who has been offering group prenatal classes at two really incredible hub locations, right? Using Tad Hargrave language, right? They are hubs for pregnant families
Right.
in this community. They are like the hip happening spots for pregnant people to go. And she's got group classes at both of them. And but she was coming home and feeling like, eh, the people that are showing up aren't the right fit for me. It's not She wasn't feeling that flow. And as she really stepped back to look at her true practice niche, she saw that really what she's called to do is to do very intensive relationship-based, very individualized care, and really doesn't want to do group classes at all, and was more than willing to walk away from those hub locations and
Wow.
completely reframe her practice to focus just on private prenatal sessions with couples that are craving that kind of intimacy and depth that she's wanting in her practice.
I love it. I
It's
love it.
gorgeous.
Which gets back to the how we offer what we offer, because some people are gonna want those classes and that's the way they're gonna enjoy learning, and other people won't. And so it's interesting, it gets to this question of, so because I know this must come up with your clients a lot, helping them explore this. And so, yeah, if somebody came to you and they're like, I get the niching matters, I'm done being resistant to it, I'm willing to explore this, like, what?
Fine.
Where do I start? Fine. Where do I start, you know, not appealing to everybody? Like, what's the process you take people through?
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's many different avenues you can use, but I find it helpful to start by really looking at, all right, you know, how specific is it? Are we getting the aha feeling, or is it kind of that broad stroke that we mentioned earlier? And one of the best gauges for this is to actually create a persona based on this niche description. So can you actually give her a name? Can you tell me where she lives? What does her sofa look like? What does she have in her walls? What books are on her bookshelf? What does she do on Sunday mornings? Is she a coffee or a tea drinker? Really, just give her life. And if you can, if she's real enough to you that you can infuse her in that kind of detail, then you're probably on the right path. And one of the things I love to do is to actually create a Pinterest board representing that ideal client. And so look for pictures that represent her house and her living room and the birth quotes that inspire her. And that's a really lovely way for especially those clients that need the visual to understand what it is that we're exploring. I think another piece is coming back to what we were just discussing. And, you know, is that ideal client, is that niche an excellent match for the nature of your care? So are you clear on what you have to offer her and why it's a great fit for her needs? So is there that nice blend where you come together? And most importantly, do you feel excited? The client I was just mentioning earlier, who's switching over to the private prenatal classes, you know, ultimately, because she has that strong alignment with her niche, her own personal journey as a practitioner is being enhanced. Right. And so we ideally we're feeding one another and growing together in this. It's not just me serving my clients, but because I'm working with the right people, they are helping me grow as well.
Right. I love that. Beautiful. That's so great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts around niching. So if people wanted to work with you or learn more about you, where do they go? What can they do?
They can find me at mybirthbusiness.com. And I do primarily focus on birth professionals, but I'm also very open to working with anyone doing any sort of holistic health practice. And you can go to my homepage and you'll find there a link to sign up for a free initial consultation. I also offer free conference calls every other month or so, exploring topics of interest to holistic providers. So coming up on November 7th, I've got a call on using Facebook to build your practice. Awesome. Together with Jeanette of Birthswell that we mentioned earlier in this call. So would love to see some of you there.
That's so great. And everyone, seriously, go check out her website, because I just think it's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Simple, clean, and welcoming and charming. So
just
yeah,
my the couch.
Yeah, it's so great. I love the cup of tea. It's so beautiful. I love it. So yeah, mybirthbusiness.com. And everyone go check it out. And if you're interested in checking out the Niching for Hippies program, you can go to nichingforhippies.com. Something will be there. And I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you very much, Tad. And I have so much respect for what you're putting together here. Because every time I have that call with a new client and I see their niche and I just cringe inside,
right.
you are leading the way. So.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Well, take care. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.